Oh, yeah, we are live. This is the Coastside's only live call-in talk radio show. This is Coastal Windage. Good morning. It's Friday, September 11th, 2020. Finish up with those droids and head on over to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters. It's time for some Coastal Windage. That's right, Coastal Windage. We're here every Friday morning, 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB Radio 100.9 FM and rockin' 1710 a.m. and streaming live on KHMBRadio.com. Coastside issues, hot topics, and you and us. I'm Ruben Truthmaker, mid-coaster, dad, futurist, and passionate iconoclast for the greater good. You know me. That's my preamble to every show. And my friends and co-hosts, Livy Streetwise and Mr. Mojo Filters, they are out and about. Well, they're not out and about the community. They're in their homes. They're out and about in their minds. They may call in. We try to get them on the show every week. It's tough. We have been separated for many months now. But the show goes on, and so does our spirit. Hopefully your spirits are up this morning. It's Friday, right? Hey, if you missed the show this morning, download podcasts of our past shows from khmbradio.com. Okay. Coastsiders, this is your show. This is your voice. So let's hear from you. Give us a call, 560-9851, the number to call, or send us an email. Many of you do. They're fun to read. We read them on the show if they're good enough or funny enough. coastalwindage@gmail.com. All right. Give us some emails to read. This show, as you probably know, is sponsored by the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Thank you, Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. California Chow, my favorite type of chow. And House Beers, my favorite type of beers. Well, free beers are my favorite type of beers, but house beers are excellent as well. In a relaxed brew pub setting with a fire pit patio overlooking Pillar Point Harbor, and the patio is currently open for dining. Of course, they're also open for takeout. All tables first come, first serve, maximum party size 6. They are being pretty strict about social distancing. Tables are spaced to maintain adequate social distance. All right. And an updated menu with classics like the smoked monster burger and artichoke hearts, as well as some other tasty fare like beer steamed clams. I'm ready to have some beer steamed clams right now. I can feel the steam wafting up on my face, and I can taste that beer. All right. Or a blackened fish sandwich. Yes, you blacken an old shoe, and I'm ready to eat it. It's Friday. Treat yourself right after a long week and get some food at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company tonight. All right, give us a call, 560-9851. Listen to Coastal Windage live right now on the internet, khmbradio.com. It's 9/11 today. Here's a question. What's worse, doing a show on Friday the 13th or 9/11? Hold on. Before you answer that, in 2018, we did a show on December 7th. I hear the millennials shrugging. Yes, December 7th. But, unfortunately, there's not many people that remember that day of infamy anymore, right? Old-timers are shaking their head at me. December 7th, how could anybody forget Pearl Harbor Day? Just millennials and post-millennials, I'm just throwing that out there for you. How could anybody forget Pearl Harbor Day? Well, believe it, my son is 12. Oh, and we've got a phone call already right out of the gates. Let's do this. Coastal Windage, Ruben Truthmaker speaking. Who we have on the line?
It is Libby Streetwise. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Libby. Well, I'm doing fantastic because we live in this great place and I'm doing this show and now I'm talking to you, but it's a bit of a rough morning out there.
Well, it is. It is a terrible morning.
Thank you, Libby. I was going for the like, hey, everything can be good. Libby, right there with the hammer.
Sorry. Yeah, it is a hammer because it's a solemn day, 9/11.
Yeah, yeah.
It is today actually also marks 6 months since the World Health Organization marked COVID a pandemic.
Wow, six months today? Wow.
Yep. 6 months today.
Seems like
now
6 years.
We're in, like, the perfect storm or the vortex of craziness. And now, you know, the fires and all that. So, sorry that I'm bringing, like, a triple hammer.
Okay, well, let's flip. I mean, the thing is, it's kind of like, it's getting to the point where it's almost like beachcombing. Like, you just don't, when you wake up in the morning now these days in this country, you don't know what you're going to find. What happened?
Yeah.
You know, what now? What next?
I don't know. I feel like we're in an alternate universe.
It seemed like on Wednesday when we woke up. I thought I was in an alternate universe.
You know what came out on Wednesday? The trailer for the new Dune movie. I'm like, that shouldn't have been more appropriate.
Now that seems like some kind of like marketing thing of like, you know, they sprayed orange dye into the air. I mean, that's just too coincidental there.
I know. Crazy. And then you were so funny about blackening a shoe.
Yeah.
And you did it. So next time I see you, I'll throw a blackened old rubber hose that we were just about to throw out.
Mm.
But I figure if we could put it to use, I'll blacken it for you.
Oh, yeah, if you blacken it with like some Cajun spices or something,
so, yeah,
I'll eat that hose.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious right now.
Oh, it's so funny. I have to tell you, I ran in to the Truthmaker wife yesterday.
Oh, Mrs. Truthmaker, yes. A wonderful
Mrs.
lady.
Truthmaker. It was so funny because I was behind her at a light, and I laid on the horn. And the poor thing, I thought that I was telling her to go through a red light. And I think that her first reaction was like, what in God's name is this crazy person telling me to do behind me? And then I'm like so excited to see her. I'm like flailing my arms all around the car.
Yeah, not a crazy person flailing their arms behind you, honking their horn.
All right. Yeah, I'm calling a spade. I am crazy at this point. But
who is it?
So
how could you not be?
I know. Well, I was so happy to see her, even though we were a car's length apart in the cars. But we just don't see anyone anymore.
I mean, it's so true. Like, I'm going to be talking about some meetings that I went to or Zoom meetings that I attended this week. And it's now gotten to the point where, yeah, I'm just happy to see somebody's face I recognize on a Zoom call. Like, oh, yeah, that person. Like, hi, you know, but it's just two-dimensional. But still, it's
really
nice to see a face.
I know. And when she stuck her arm out the window, I'm like, oh, I just want to reach out and hold her hand.
I know, right? When's the last time you gave somebody that wasn't a family member a hug, you know?
Seriously. And you know me, I'm a social creature.
Yes.
But I will tell you, when all of this gets back to some realistic, good, normal, it'll eventually happen. Could be 2 years from now, but I feel like my social interactions are going to be so stunted in a way. Like I'm out of practice. So now I feel like very off center. If I actually run into someone at the supermarket, I'm head down, butt up the whole time. I pass by people, like don't even want to make eye contact. Don't.
Yeah, like, I think it's going to be interesting in like 20 years or maybe not that long when sociologists would be doing some kind of study of the effects of this time. And, you know, I wonder if there is going to be some kind of shift in the way people interact out in public that, you know, where the kids are not going to school, so they're losing some of the socialization that comes from being at school every day. And, yeah, I mean, I've been in my house mostly, have hardly seen anybody, and of kind of getting used to that. You know, everybody's kind of becoming their own little hermit in a way.
It's true. You know what just came to mind was, did you ever see Tool Time with Tim Allen?
Yeah, Tim Allen. I watched it occasionally.
So he had a neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
And the only way they ever communicated was through the fence.
Right. You never saw the neighbor, right? Just like his hat or something?
You just saw his hat, his eyes, like an eyeball. Or, you know, and I feel like that's what's to come.
It's true. My next door neighbor, we have a 6-foot fence, so, and they're a little higher up on the side to me, so I can see them when they walk in there. And we're next door neighbors that have lived next to each other for over a decade, and I feel like we've hardly said 10 words in the last 6 months, and not because there's anything, you know, going on between us. It's just that everybody's just head down, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So it's a strange time. Strange times, to be sure. Anyhow, well, I won't keep you. I know you have a great agenda today. I just wanted to say rock on, Ruben. You're doing great.
Well, I miss you, Libby. Miss you not having you here in the studio. Mojo as well. Thank you for calling. It's definitely good to hear your voice.
All right. Well, miss you too. And hopefully we'll get the gang back together sometime soon.
We got to put the band back together. Okay. Thanks, Libby.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. All right. That was the great Libby Streetwise, co-host here on Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. All right, so we were talking about what's worse, doing a show on Friday the 13th, 9/11, or December 7th. Guess what? We have now, with doing a show on 9/11, we've pulled off the hat trick. We have done shows on all three of those days. Which is the worst? I'm going to say right now that 9/11. It's the most recent tragedy, more recent than Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1941. And Friday the 13th, that's not a real thing. So then the answer is obvious. It's 9/11. Again, I was saying my son has no, he was not alive. It's just a date and time. It might as well be 1066 or 1776. And we've got another call. This is going to be a busy day on Coastal Windage. This is Ruben Truthmaker on Coastal Windage. Who are we speaking with this morning?
It's Penny Packer.
Penny Packer. Is this your first call of the season, Penny Packer?
It is. I'm sorry I missed the first two. I was unavailable, and I felt bad. So the first opportunity I had to call, I wanted to say I missed you guys.
Well, thank you, Penny Packer, for our new listeners. Old listeners will know. Penny Packer is one of our most frequent callers and is calling from the great state of South Dakota. Good morning, Penny Packer. How's things going out in the Midwest?
Well, not from South Dakota, but you're close. It's pretty good. You know, it's kind of a somber day. Flags at half staff and all. So, do you remember where you were on this day 19 years ago? What you were doing?
I absolutely do. I don't want to take up too much of your call, but I was working in an office building at the end of Seaport Road. Folks here on the peninsula will know. Seaport Road goes from Highway 101 basically into the middle of the bay. And I was working in a brand new office building, the last building on Seaport Road that sticks way out into the bay and is actually right on the approach path to SFO. So I heard about 9/11 on the way to work, went to my cube on the sixth floor, directly facing the approaching flight path, and started watching the news and stuff. And I will admit that for the first couple of hours, because planes were still landing and taking off in those first couple hours after the planes hit the two towers, and every single plane that started down the approach path towards SFO would be coming basically right at me in the sixth floor for a few, 30 seconds or so. And for the first five or six planes, like, there was just a trickle of cold sweat as I just watched it slowly approaching, going, well, I mean, there's, it's not likely, but it's already happened twice today. Could this be happening right? Oh, gosh, thank goodness it went by. So that was, yeah. And just the incredulousness of this. How is this happening? And then here's something that is pretty disturbing that I've always wondered about. If you were watching TV coverage of 9/11 in the first couple of hours, like between when the first plane hit and the second plane hit, they showed coverage on TV of people jumping out of the windows way up, on the 100th floor or whatever, because the fire was below them, jumping out of the windows. Two or three people at least, I remember seeing video of them jumping out of the windows. You can't find that video anymore. You can't find that. Go try to find it. It's probably on the dark web somewhere, but you can't just pull up a search on Google of images or video and get that video anymore. It's almost like, they don't want people to see it. Anyways, I'm sorry to take up all your call. Penny Packer, what about you? on 9/11?
I'm a native Californian, and I was going to college behind the Redwood Curtain there, about 6 hours north of you. And I had awakened early that morning because I had a kidney stone, and I was in excruciating pain. So I put on the news because, you know, we're 3 hours behind New York. And I saw the, you know, they were talking about the first plane, and unfortunately, that's when they saw the second one live. And yes, yeah. I do remember the people, they were showing them, unfortunately, jumping, and it was really traumatic. And my future father-in-law was on a plane somewhere, and I remember when we couldn't find him, and that school was still open, so I had to go to a lab, you know, out in the middle of the Redwoods, and when I came back, like, all of campus had been closed, and of course they couldn't get a hold of us, and it was just really scary, and being that far away from family, and not knowing where anybody is or what's happening, and being in excruciating pain.
Yeah, well, that was almost like your body saying, hey, you know, something bad's happening, exactly. I'm going to give you some sympathetic pains. Couple more notes on that day. Not only did they show a couple people jumping, there was one person in particular who jumped out of the window and did a stylistic dive. I remember he literally did something with his legs and his arms where he jumped out the window and did a dive, basically, or had his hand behind his head in kind of a pose, basically, and went down head first. And then the other thing, yeah, being away from home. When I was at that office building, we had colleagues visiting from Boston, and, you know, a couple of the planes took off from Boston. Of course, everybody on the East Coast is worried that every city was going to be hit. They were freaking out. No way to get home because there's no flight. So they rented a car that day. It took them 3 days. They flew home, or they rushed home to Boston driving in shifts in 3 days. Mm. Well, okay. Petty Packer, way to bring that down.
Well, anyways, I just wanted to call because I usually always call on the first show of the season. And I'm sorry, don't travel shame me, but I was out being very cautious, COVID cautious, traveling out west.
Were you at that Sturgis motorcycle rally? Is that what you were doing?
Heck no, that's not my crowd.
Okay. Well, so you said you worked from South Dakota. Okay, we'll accept that. North Dakota's fine.
No, not there either. Nearby.
Okay, we're getting close. One of these times I'll get it. All right, Penny Packer, yep. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate you listening.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Penny Packer calling from somewhere in the Midwest. I can't quite ever get the state right, but it's somewhere out there. And we appreciate all of our listeners across, around the globe. Anywhere in the world with an internet connection, you could listen to this show live, or you could download podcasts anywhere in the world with an internet connection. I know it's an amazing reach we have here at Coastal Windage. All right, breaking news. Breaking this just then, the San Mateo County Historical Society Museum Committee, excuse me, that was my 1930s broadcaster voice, has voted to accept the digital files of all Coastal Windage shows into its permanent files. That's right. It's basically they've accepted all of our shows into their archives. So there's basically going to be a snapshot of time of Coastside Living now forever available for people to research and listen to and explore at the San Mateo County Historical Society. It's pretty cool. And now I just need to work on that Wikipedia page. All right. Wow. 9:20. Time to talk about the show. This is what I love about this show. We could just sit here and ramble on for the whole day, and it would be quite fun. But there's other shows on KHMB that people want to listen to. So let's get to this show. Our topics for today. Holy smokes, yeah. Holy smokes is right. And Midcoast meetings, meetings, meetings. And here, how about this one? Where art thou, Whimsy? Where have you gone? And our new segment, The New Normal. Today, we will have an interview, a live interview, with promoter Julie Mell. Why does that name sound familiar? Julie Mell. Oh, that's right. Julie brought us one of the most amazing activities the Coast Side has seen in a long time, an actual drive-in movie theater. It was great. They showed a movie. People loved it. We're going to hear all about it. Okay, air quality report. This is the most important data point going. Of course, at Coastal Windage, and now everybody wants to know what the air quality is, but at Coastal Windage, of course, we've been providing this information since 2018. While other places give you the regular stuff like traffic and weather, we have the important stuff, air quality. Okay. We used to get this info from airnow.gov. We've switched to purpleair.com. I keep promising to explain why. And one of these days when it's a slow news day, we'll get to those reasons. But today is not one of those days. So you'll just have to tune in next week and following weeks to find out. Maybe you will get lucky and you will hear why we switched on one of those shows. So keep listening. I know you will anyways. All right, let's get to the goods. Today in El Granada, wow, 246 is the air quality day in El Granada. What was that scale again, Ruben? 0 to 50 is good. 51 to 100 is moderate. I don't even have a scale beyond that in my notes because Half Moon Bay, Coastside, Midcoast, we're usually in the 0 to 50 range, well into the 0 to 50 range. 51 to 100 is moderate. 101 to 150 is unhealthy. Above 150 is very unhealthy. And El Granada's clocking in at 246 today, 257 in Half Moon Bay, 283 in Redwood City. So if you're like Mojo and you're chasing the clear air, 154 down in Santa Cruz, which is still in the unhealthy range, the very unhealthy range, but way better than it is here right now. Okay, not good. Stay inside, wear a mask. Here's some emails that we received last week we didn't have time to get to. This one is from listener School of Life regarding back to school. It breaks my heart to see my two children, who should be in a classroom with a teacher and their peers, soaking up knowledge and socializing and being kids, instead sitting like zombies in our dining room staring silently at a screen for hours a day. Learning is not just about facts and figures. It is about emotions, body language, social situations, making friends, experience. Hold on, let me take a breath here. Living and being exposed. I think we may all be realizing just how much we have taken our amazing public school system for granted. I know I have. Let me wipe a tear from my eye. School of Life. Yes, I totally agree with that. But taking a school system for granted, I have always loved public education, never taken it for granted. But I think what School of Life is saying, we just realize how it just emphasizes how important school is in our daily lives for people that have kids and people that don't have kids even. All right, here's an email from listener Mad as Heck. It's the other word, but I'm going to use heck because this is, you know, a family show. Here's the thing, you know, heck is not that bad of a word, or the word that they used here, but we don't need to go there. Okay, I understand the emphasis, but you can have gravitas and credibility and impact without swear words. And I acknowledge H-E double toothpicks is not exactly a swear word, but anyways, moving on. Graffiti at Farallon View from Mad as Heck. How about some human surveillance at Farallon View? Because we talked last week about the graffiti incident there. Ruben says he hates cameras. I do. And so what about making some duck blinds around the school and staffing it with volunteers from the community armed with night vision goggles and paint guns? They can tag any taggers with non-removable fluorescent paint so the scofflaws can be tracked down later. Huh? Well, I am assuming that Mad as Heck is tongue-in-cheek here. I'm assuming that. But if not, I'm a little uncomfortable with the militant direction this is taking. The discussion on Nextdoor was also getting quite aggro. I understand people are frustrated, but vigilantism is not the answer. It's never the answer. Somebody's going to get hurt if private citizens start patrolling on their own. There's already been some pretty aggressive signage that has been put up in Montera over this COVID time about parking and beach visitors and stuff. I know everybody's on edge, but we've got to retain our humanity and our sense of humor. Back to this email. Don't get me started about the use of cameras. People know, I think I went on a diatribe last week. Cameras are not the answer. In fact, they are limiting our freedom. They are not helping us. Okay, anyways, off of that. But paint guns, no. I don't care. Okay, I don't care what some folks driving around in pickup trucks with huge flags might say. Shooting a paint gun pellet at somebody is assault, a criminal act. It is not a peaceful or painless act. It is a criminal act of assault. So no, I don't advocate setting up duck blinds and shooting people with paint guns. Call the sheriff. All right, coronavirus continues to transform life as we know it. Here's an interesting, I think this is a statistical anomaly. Maybe the numbers just don't add up, but I went and checked out total cases of coronavirus in the county this week, 8,452. That's up 62 cases from last week when we reported. So then I went and looked at our coastside communities. El Granada, Montero, Moss Beach, Miramar, and Princeton all stayed the same. Half Moon Bay increased up to 225 cases now. They increased 46 cases. And Pacifica's up to 190 cases with an increase of 14. So if we look at, there were 62 new cases in the county, 46 of them in Half Moon Bay and 14 in Pacifica. That's 60 of the 62 new cases were either in a Half Moon Bay or Pacifica. Is this anecdotal evidence that visitors to the coastside are bringing coronavirus here? I'm not making that claim. I'm just saying I'm looking at data, and this is something that's coming out from the data. Now, maybe the data is incomplete, but this is data I pulled off the county dashboard, and this is what it's indicating. I mean, it's an inference that can be drawn from this data. If 60 of the 62 new cases in San Mateo County are in Half Moon Bay and Pacifica, where everybody's been coming to go to the beach, okay. All right, moving on. I just have to, sorry, I'm doing it. The Medio Creek Detour. The bridge on the coastal path over Medio Creek was closed July 27th. I'm sorry, what's the date today? September 11th, 47 days ago, that bridge was closed. 47 days, people have been pushed out onto Highway 1. 47 days, that bridge has been closed. And guess what? Guess what? Still not a sign, not a light, not a flag denoting the on-highway detour there between Medio Road and Miramar Drive. Not a sign, not a light. San Mateo County Department of Public Works encroachment permit to change the lanes at that intersection and add a K-rail barrier to make an actual physical space for the detour has been granted by Caltrans. Gee, thanks, Caltrans. This will now separate pedestrian and bicycle traffic from motor vehicle traffic for the duration of the detour, which will be a year. Get used to that K-rail at that pinch point on Highway 1. And so now that the encroachment permit has been granted, guess what? Now the county has ordered the K-rail and crash cushions, and they're waiting delivery on that, which could take up to 14 more days. And now the county is working on getting a contractor, and that actual construction of the K-rail will take 3 weeks. So they're looking at completion of this detour in early October. So once again, bridge closed on July 27th. Detour not going to be in place until early October. Good planning. That's safe. I'm really, that's a falling down of responsibility right there. Okay. Holy smokes. Yeah. Did Kenny Rogers open a new Roasters restaurant in town, or was there a Martian eclipse on Wednesday? I was talking with Livy about that a couple minutes ago. The fires, right? The smoke from the fires and the marine layer are combining this week to throw kind of an end times pall over the coastside. Monday night, if you were out Monday night, super cool. There was like a blood orange moon Monday night. Now, sometimes my dad would call it a harvest moon. When the moon would be rising, we'd be maybe driving through the Central Valley. The moon would be rising, you know, kind of at dusk. And as it went up just above the horizon, the dust and the smog and whatnot from the ground, especially in the central valley, would create kind of a yellow orangish look of the moon until it got above, you know, that layer of dust, and then it became, you know, its usual white. And my dad called that a harvest moon. This was beyond a harvest moon on Monday. This was like a blood orange, right? Okay, Tuesday we woke up and it was a weird kind of grayish light on the coast side, kind of a strangest yellowish hue. But then Wednesday, oh my goodness, it was full Martian eclipse. It was near dark at noon. People, you had to have your headlights on to drive at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. House lights needed to be on. It felt like we were on Tatooine or something. I kept expecting to see like a second or third moon rising out of the orange sky. But you know what was happening? It was essentially nuclear winter. Old timers are like, oh my God, come on, you're overstating it, Ruben. And of course, younger folks are thinking nuclear winter. I have no idea what you're talking about. So nuclear winter is a theory from the 70s that if there was a nuclear war, yes, there would be a lot of people killed by the explosions. There would be a lot of people killed by residual radioactivity. But some people would survive to experience nuclear winter, which is when these bombs explode, they would carry all this debris from the explosions up into the upper high levels of the atmosphere, which would then create basically a blanket which would block out the sun, lowering temperatures on the earth to, you know, really, really freezing temperatures all over the earth, and eliminating photosynthesis so nothing can grow, basically ending life on earth. It is a theory, but maybe it's one of the reasons we've never had a nuclear war, because even a crazy person, a crazy leader, might think they could survive a nuclear war in their bunker. But when you explain to them that not one thing will survive nuclear winter, that can be a deterrent. If you don't think you're going to survive, if you're some despot and you don't think you're going to survive, you may not press the button. So maybe the theory of nuclear winter saved us. But that's what was happening with our atmosphere here. If you went out on Wednesday, the breathing was not that bad. It didn't even really smell that much like smoke, because the smoke had gone so high up into the atmosphere that there was a pocket of air below that was breathable. But the smoke was so high up, it was blocking out the sun, which is why it was so dark. So that's a glimpse of nuclear winter. On Wednesday, San Mateo County Health Officer Scott Morrow declared a local health emergency in response to the smoking condition and poor air quality. Per the county, the emergency declaration will help ensure the safety of our residents as they return home, as well as our environment, by facilitating the removal of toxic metals and hazardous materials from the burned areas. I kind of sound like station manager Jim Henderson there. I'm trying. I do practice in the mirror at home, working on my Jim Henderson voice. It's a good voice to have. It's a good radio voice. All right. The fire is 83% contained. This is the CZU Lightning Complex fire. 86,000 acres burned, 59 structures lost. I don't want to create any additional anxiety for folks out there, not because, you know, we really need one more thing to worry about. But I will say that there is another concern related to the fires that probably people haven't thought of right now while the fires are so fresh, and that is homeowners insurance. Okay. Actually, this issue is not new. Last year on our March 15th, 2019 show, we reported that Cal Fire had issued their new Community Wildfire Prevention and Mitigation Report. And it not only listed two coastside locations as among its top 20 most dangerous fire spots in the state, those being Quarry Park coming in at number 16 and number 2 on the rockin' list of dangerous fire spots in the state, coming in at number 2, Kings Mountain Roadside. I think we can check that one on the list because they nailed that one. It also listed the entire Midcoast, over 250 acres, as at risk. Now, what this had the effect of doing was scaring the insurance companies, who don't want to pay. And since this report was issued, there have been anecdotal reports on Nextdoor of Midcoasters losing their homeowners insurance because their carriers have unilaterally dropped them. Now, this is a coming firestorm, shall we say, for every homeowner in the state. Expect to see homeowners insurance rates for everybody, not just those in a fire danger, for everybody, go through the roof. Some homeowners may not be able to get homeowners insurance or be able to afford it. And also look for the insurance companies, corporations, to flood Sacramento and Washington with lobbyists to change laws for their benefit, because they know the future for them is not looking good. And the business model for insurance corporations is not paying. Okay, that is the business model. So they don't want to pay. They're going to pass laws to reduce what they have to pay. It's going to happen. Okay, you know what? We are blowing through the show, so I just want to give a shout-out to the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company right now. Coastal Windage, this show that I love to do and love to bring to the coastside, is brought to you by the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Please remember in these trying times, the Brew Co. is open 7 days a week for takeout and delivery orders and in-patio dining. And get this. The Truthmaker family has a hound that we love, and the Brew Co. was named the best dog-friendly restaurant in the Bay Area for 5 years in a row. That's a five-peat by the Bay Woof's Beast of the Bay Awards. That's right. They even have a special dog menu that includes house-made dog treats called Maverick Bones, as well as a doggy burger, a doggy grilled chicken breast. And I've got to clear my throat on this one because I've got a hunger pang going. That's right. Bacon and eggs. Wait a minute. Bacon and eggs. I'll have something from the doggy menu, please. Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Go check it out. And they're hound friendly. Okay. Boy, there was a slew of meetings on the Midcoast. Important meetings. Okay. And I'm just going to run through them. Unfortunately, maybe next week I'll get to it, although it won't be news then. This is why we could do a five-hour show, because just on Wednesday and Thursday, it just in the Midcoast, so not even at the county level, not even including the city of Half Moon Bay, there were five meetings on the Midcoast just Wednesday and Thursday. There was a Coast Fire Effort Update meeting hosted by Supervisor Don Horsley and County Manager Mike Kalegi. There was an regular MCC meeting, in which they discussed a variety of topics that were quite lively discussions. On Thursday, there was a Coastline Design Review Committee meeting. Now, do you remember the Ed Norton character in the movie Fight Club? He liked to go to group support meetings like Alcoholics Anonymous for entertainment, for something to do. I think he had insomnia or something, and he would go to these group therapy sessions just to have something to do, to watch the people, to be entertained. Well, that's kind of how I am with public meetings in the Midcoast. And with this pandemic, I mean, how much content on Netflix can you watch? For me, it's like the old days now when public meetings were an exciting social event. I'm attending a lot of meetings on Zoom these days. And so I went to the MCC meeting, or I attended. I attended the Design Review Committee meeting on Thursday. That meeting started at 12:30. It had one official item on its agenda, and at 5 p.m. I had to drop off to go to another meeting, and the Design Review Committee meeting was still going strong. Let me tell you that Design Review Committee members are appointed volunteers. They get $50 a meeting and include licensed architects and other professionals. So this meeting started at 12:30. I dropped off at 5 when it was still going strong. So let's say it was at least going to be a five-hour meeting, and they got $50 each for that. So that is quite a commitment. Then I had to drop off of that meeting so I could go to the Caltrans Traffic Operational Systems Improvement Project meeting. You need to know about this, and we'll talk about this more next week because we're running out of time for this week. But this is something that you need. This is an idea by Caltrans that they're going to put signs, sensors, and guardrail and maintenance vehicle pullouts in 10 different spots between Miramontes Road and Daly City. And what
is kind of upsetting people on the coast side here is that this plan includes several variable message signs that will be permanently fixed electronic signs, and people don't like that. Here's a couple of takeaways I had from this meeting. I Caltrans is not my favorite agency right now because of what's going on at Medio Creek, but okay, I can set that aside. And the crosswalk at Moss Beach, lest we not forget. Never forget that one. So, okay, but people are people, and I'm always willing to cut people some slack. But I will say that at this meeting yesterday, which was originally scheduled for August 26th and was going to be about a new magical crosswalk in Miramar, was canceled at the 11th hour and changed to yesterday and was only about this traffic operational systems improvement project, we'll call it SIP, was only about that. And it was very constrained. There was no, it was boom, started at this time. It ended right on when they said it was going to end. They had a bunch of more questions they wouldn't take. This was the bare minimum Caltrans could do. And I have to say the personnel, Caltrans personnel, seemed unprepared for the detailed pressing inquiries of co-siders. I mean, similarly, it seemed as if they didn't really have the answers to basic questions. Like, they didn't expect to be asked questions. Like, do you have the spec sheet for these signs? And the first answer, no, we don't have. Well, maybe we do. Well, I don't know. Well, these signs haven't been made yet. And after 5 minutes of mumbling, turns out they do have the spec sheet for these signs. So they didn't seem prepared for actual detailed inquiries from co-siders. Also, it seemed as if really this was the first time they had ever interacted with people from the coast side. I'll give you an example of that. The manager of the meeting, after hearing that people are very concerned about lighting on the coast and wondering if these signs meet Dark Sky Initiative lighting standards, the manager of the meeting was very, very surprised to hear that there was such a thing as the Dark Sky Initiative. I'm sorry, but if you are familiar with the coast side and issues related to the coast side, and you're talking about bringing large electronic signs to the coast side, and you don't know about the Dark Sky Initiative and how people feel about it out here, then you're not prepared. Then you don't understand this part of your constituency, and you're bringing things in that don't. This is not the Highway 101 corridor where you can put big electronic signs. And if you don't know about the Dark Sky Initiative, then it's not surprising that you're talking about introducing large electronic signs. So that really is something that's the kind of thing that gets under the skin of co-siders. All right, so I was at that meeting. Then additionally, on Thursday at 7:30, was a Cabrillo Unified School District meeting. I have to admit, I was too tired to go to that one. The agenda was pretty full. They had some things like endorsements of Hispanic Heritage Month, which is the month of September, and LGBTG History Month, which is October, and they had some other stuff. All right, so these meetings, I mentioned I kind of doing them for entertainment. They may not be Game of Thrones, although sometimes, they could be. They are. You get some stuff in there. But, hey, this is where your community decisions are being made. Why is there traffic? Why aren't the beaches closed? Why is a hotel being built there? These meetings are where these things are introduced, discussed, amended, and reviewed, and where you always have at least 3 minutes to give your input. It's also where you see your friends and neighbors, and you try to work out, you see them as members of these bodies, try to work out their differences in a respectful, professional, considerate way. Like the MCC meeting on Wednesday, where there was much disagreement about many things, but the members worked through it without devolving to personal attacks, yelling, or stomping out in a huff. Next door is not a substitute for civic participation. Civic participation is civic participation. Check out a meeting. All right, check out the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Coastal Windage is brought to you by the Brewing Company. They are. Thank you. Appreciate that. Where art thou, whimsy? To quote Charlton Heston, to paraphrase, darn you all to hell, coronavirus. Darn you all to hell. I know, and I said I wasn't going to use that word, but I did. All right. Well, I was quoting, and it's the, Charlton Heston from Planet of the Apes. I have to be real on that one. Okay, but coronavirus, what are you doing to us? No dream, Hang on, this is going to be a list here. No dream machines, no 4th of July parade, no pumpkin festival, no school musicals, no school graduations, no school sports, no live concerts, no birthday parties, no public meetings, no romantic dinners out, no crowded bars, no movies, no laughter in the schoolyards, angry next door posts about garbage and traffic, anti-visitor vitriol. All right, you get the point. So much tension, angst, and depression related to COVID, the fires, the president. So where? How do coastsiders find some whimsy in their lives? I'm going to tell you right now. You looking for whimsy? Hold on a minute. We've got a phone call. Reuben Truthmaker on the line. Who are we speaking with this morning?
Hi, Reuben. It's Justin from Half Moon Bay. How are you?
Justin from Half Moon Bay. I'm doing great. How about you this morning?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to strongly agree with you about participation in local meetings.
Okay, hit it.
You know, I think, you know, you look at, and I don't want to get into the politics of it, but you look into what's happening at the federal level, you look at what's happening at the state level, you look at the disaster at the county level with people like Don Horsley and this recent grand jury report with emergency alerting and how the county's just falling on its face. You know, I think as dysfunctional as our local government can be at times, it's the one government at this point I see actually working for us, right? And it's also the one place where, at least for me, I feel like I actually get a say in what's happening. And I really want to echo what you said about Next Door. You know, I'm a very avid participant on Next Door, but you're absolutely right. It is not a fill-in for participation in government, and we've seen that through this beach closure discussion where people don't seem to understand the basics of even the geography of the coastside, let alone, you know, thinking the mayor of Half Moon Bay is a woman or, you know, saying the right. Mayor of Half Moon Bay is just after this huge paycheck, you know. And it's just, you know, I really want to just echo what you said. You know, for people out there that are listening, if you can be involved, whether it's City of Half Moon Bay meetings, MCC, go to the county meetings. Good luck with Don Horsley. But, you know, we've got to be involved at this local level, you know, and see that's really where we can work together. It's the one thing that's kind of left for us from my point of view at this point.
I love the comment, Justin. Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, your local government, that is where it kind of bubbles up and where really you can have the most influence. And one thing I like to say, Justin, and it sounds like you might agree with this, that you know, we style ourselves in this country as a government by the people, for the people. Well, mm-hmm. It starts with the people then. And you get what you pay for, basically. If people don't participate, if they're not involved, if they're not engaged with their government, especially at the local level, then garbage in, garbage out, they say. So yeah. if you want to make, and Justin, sorry to take up your time here, but.
No, please.
If you want to make an impact, you can do it at the local level. As I mentioned, everybody gets 3 minutes to talk no matter what. So you have Absolutely. 3 minutes to make your point and try to convince the decision makers of what is important to this community. And it's the local meetings where you have that chance.
Absolutely. And last thing, I'll let you go. I know you got a tight show to finish up here, but the other big thing is with the new district elections here on the coastside is if people have the interest and the capacity and the passion to run, if please run. You know, we're looking at city council positions that will have an impact for decades, you know, and we're getting, you know, just a few candidates at a time, if any. So please, especially for the older adults in the population that might be retired, if you're willing to serve and can serve, please consider it. Thanks for your time, Reuben. Love the show.
Thanks for the call, Justin. Great call. Thank you, bud. Bye. Okay, that was Justin from Half Moon Bay. Great call. And we're going to have a call in just any time now. It's going to be promoter Julie Mel. So let's get to whimsy. There's whimsy going on the coast side. I want to get to it real quickly. In El Granada, the rock fairy paints gorgeous mandala rocks and anonymously places them in people's yards. In case you're listening, rock fairy, I live in El Granada at blah, 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 blah. And my life loves your work. Love to have a rock in our yard. Also in El Granada, Grace Ann Stewart, her daughter Sheridan, and editor-in-chief Lonnie Southern conceived, developed, and published an online literary magazine magazine called Virus. We'll get back to that in a second. I bet this is Julie Mell. Let's see who we've got right now. This is Ruben Truthmaker on Coastal Windage. Who are we talking with this morning?
Hi, Ruben. This is Julie Mell.
Julie Mell.
Beach Break Entertainment.
Okay, of Beach Break Entertainment. Julie, great to have you on the new normal this morning. This is our new live interview phone segment. Let's get right to it, Julie, because I have been excited about this interview all week. I love movies. Julie, you almost single-handedly brought the drive-in movie experience to the Coastside. Tell us a little bit about this event you organized back on August 13th.
Well, we were really fortunate to have a team. I'd like to say it was a team of fantastic community members and a bunch of supportive people behind me to make it happen. I had advertisers, sponsors. I did a GoFundMe. We had Cassandra of Maverick Surf Company and David Oliphant, the owner of Ocean Blue Real Estate, who jumped on board right away. And they were leadership sponsors and able to present our first film, which was Chasing Mavericks.
Appropriate film to show, of course. Well,
yes,
Julie,
it was.
I mean, this just shows your character. I really appreciate you calling out your team. Of course, it would take a team to put this together. I have some other questions. I mean, the logistics seem overwhelming to me, but Julie, I want to call you out because it takes a team to put this on, but somebody has to have the idea and somebody has to drive this idea. And that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, you want to hear the story?
I absolutely want to hear the story. Yes, please.
Well, I came to the realization there wasn't anything else to do on the coast. This has been a problem for me for years. I raised my two girls here and always said, the teenagers need something to do. I need to start a movie theater. And everyone kept saying, that's ridiculous. Don't do it. It's a money hole. It's a money pit. Don't do it. Well, you know, COVID started and I needed to have some fun, and drive-ins seem like perfect fun. So I've been involved with films and film festivals. And one morning while I was sitting in the hot tub after reading about drive-ins popping up pretty much everywhere but here on the coast, I said to my husband, everyone's doing this. The coast needs this. I could do this. And he basically said, he kicked me out and he said, go make a list. Go write down what you need to do and go do it. And so now it's a full-time job.
Well, so, okay, full-time job. So we had, so the event on August 13th, the showing of Chasing Mavericks, I've seen, yeah. I was out of town, unfortunately. I was so excited. I love drive-ins. In fact, on our show, May 8th show of this past year, we talked extensively about drive-ins, because there's a couple that are still, functioning in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Right? So we talked about those. And my love of drive-ins, and then I've taken my son to a drive-in in San Diego, one of the few ones that's still there. And so what is more fun than a drive-in? I mean, Julie, like, you just hit all the right notes here of, yeah, you could have had something inside a building maybe, but probably not. And so taking what you're being given by COVID, okay, so you had the idea for a drive-in movie, but this inflatable screen, where did you get that? Tell me about this movie screen. Is it a movie screen that you project onto, or was it like a monitor with a digital feed?
No, it was a great big 40-foot screen. It was rented from a company in Marin, and I had been given their name by the people at Par 3 who are doing the same thing, but you know, there's a couple of the companies that rent them in around, and they're not cheap, thus the need for sponsors and advertisers, and you have to, you know, there's a lot of costs involved.
Okay, let's get
not a cheap thing.
Right, I want to get to that now, because again, the logistics seem overwhelming to me. So can you give me a round number? Like what was the total cost of this enterprise?
Well, I overbought good organic GMO-free popcorn.
Can you really overbuy good organic GMO-free popcorn?
Or
can you really
book.
Overbuy?
Not
I mean,
book,
I'll eat it.
But I was hoping to sell a lot. I'll bring you some.
Okay.
I'll bring you some. We have some.
Thank you.
Anyway, but it came to about $10,000.
That was your total cost for this thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, that includes you have to buy the licenses for them to show the film. We got some printing done. I hired an amazing graphic designer who helped me brand, who I can't recommend enough.
Who is that?
His name is Eric Watts. He's here on the coast. He's from Moss Beach.
Does he have a company that he
used? EWDO.
EWDL, graphic design and branding.
Plug. Uh-huh. And then kind of just made the website and started in on, you know, the list. We had to rent porta potties. I rented a cleaner, a janitorial service to clean the porta potties between each use.
Maybe you could give that number to Cunha, because they were having a problem with their cleaning their porta potty back in the day. I guess they don't have that problem right now. Sorry to interrupt you there. Well, Julie, so 10,000, I mean, that is a large chunk, but
it's a large chunk. So ticket sales would have only covered about a third of that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You hear that all the time, yeah, from the nonprofits looking for funds, the cultural arts. But I've been working for film festivals and the Pumpkin Fest for years, and I knew nonprofits are dependent on the work they do for the huge events of Fog Fest and Pumpkin Fest and other community events. So I made a business plan that just basically supported them in my efforts by not only giving back a portion of the proceeds in exchange for volunteer hours, but offering a donate button on my coupon sales page. So coupon sales are, the coupons are to help drive business foot traffic down on Main Street.
Well, let me just stop you there, because Julie, like the drive-in movie, a great idea, which I love. I love movies, love drive-in. I hope there's another one. But you know what? The cross-pollination with the coupon book, brilliant. Okay, that to me, like, that makes it the community thing, right? Now we are cross-pollinating. Everybody's involved. We are all here together. Let's float everybody's boat on this thing.
That was my idea. These poor businesses, they're hurting. I knew I couldn't ask them to. Well, I've asked a few, and some have come forward and said, we want to advertise. So some of them advertise. That helped pay for some of it. Some of them sponsored. That helped pay for a great chunk of it. And then people are buying actually the coupon books, and in exchange they get to see a drive-in movie. So yes, it's a win-win for all.
It is a win-win, and again, it's brilliant, Julie. Okay,
thank you.
We have about 3 more minutes here, and I've got about 100 questions. So we've been trying to work out this puzzle for years. How do we get a movie theater on the coastside? And the thing that everybody throws up, you've already mentioned it, is that the licensing for the movies is prohibitively expensive unless you've got, you know, 20 screens. So how did you get around that for this one showing of this one movie?
Well, I paid for it. I paid the company, the distribution company, which I'm continuing to ask for films. I'm not going away.
Yeah.
But I paid for it, and then to avoid the 50%, they usually will take 50% of every ticket sale if you sell tickets. So thus, I sold coupon books. I called the tickets coupon books. People are supporting the small businesses, and they're therefore not buying a ticket, they're getting entry. So we hand out the coupon books at the gate. And we handed out great little goodie bags as well. The bags were donated from Sims Plumbing, and the goodies were donated from Spengler's, and David Oliphant gave little hand potions or sanitizers. It was all good.
I just have a warm, fuzzy feeling going on right now. Okay, so we're almost out of time here, but
I want to say two things, if I may.
Oh, please.
We were supposed to have another event on the 17th.
That was my next question.
Pulled out. Yep. Yeah, we've postponed. Bob Nisbet suggested the Johnston House. We loved it.
Yep.
I had discussions with the president of the Johnston House board, John Ryan, and Cameron Palmer, who is also on the board, and they were really supportive of us using the land. But I was threatened to be appealed if I tried to use the lot again.
Appealed by who? What?
And well, I don't want to
private owners.
Anybody online. I don't want to even give them the energy. But they said that that an appeal would be filed should I file for another permit because of the zoning.
Okay, so people were complaining about having, I guess, the sound or the noise or the light or the cars there.
There's no sound. It's done through FM stereo. FYI.
Yeah.
That was to a, you know, that we're trying to, it's 100% COVID safe. Masks must be worn, you know, all the good stuff.
Right.
But I'm hoping for a fairy godmother, somebody who will...
Angel investor.
The use of their property, so we can do another evening under the stars in your cars. And I'm going to throw it out there. If anyone knows, I believe his name is Tom Medita. He, it's the land between 92 and Highway 1. I wish I knew his name. I don't. But he used to own Tom and Pete's, and that's who I would love to get in touch with and talk to him about using that property.
Okay, if
Minata.
If anybody knows Tom, or if anybody has a nice piece of property that they think they could use, you can contact Julie, or you could send an email to coastalwindage@gmail.com. I'll get it to Julie. Julie, what's an email address they can reach you at?
Well, they can reach me on Facebook. They can let everyone know. It's they can go to my at Beach Break Entertainment, or my email is jbmell@packbell.net.
Great. Okay. Julie, thank you so much. One last thing. When you get this set up, here's some, I've got a list of possible future movies for you to show. The number number one on my list. Harold and Maude, with several scenes filmed on the coastside and in San Mateo County, or House of Sand and Fog, which has some scenes filmed in Moss Beach. Okay, Julie.
Very fun. Send me your list. Post it on Facebook.
Post it on Facebook. You can send it to Coastal Windage, too. I'll get it to Julie. Julie Mell, great promoter, wonderful coastsider, and community citizen. Julie, thank you for doing the drive-in movie, and I look forward to the next one. Thank you for being on the show.
Ruben, thank you. It was terrific. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, have a great week, Julie, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Julie Mell, promoter of the August 13th drive-in movie at the Johnson House. And that's all the time we have for today. I will talk some more whimsy next week. This has been Ruben Truthmaker, Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.